Awesome. So today is a Vision and Values Sunday, where we are going to take some time out to remind ourselves of our vision for CBC and go a little bit deeper with it. So that's what a Vision and Values Sunday is. We're just taking some time to look at it and to go a little bit deeper with it and kind of go, what does this phrase mean? And what does this phrase mean? And what does this phrase mean? But before we go there, I want to talk about why we bother with Vision and Values Sundays. You see, there is huge importance in going back to the vision. There is huge importance in going back to the vision because it reminds us of what we feel God is calling us into. Because it reminds us of what we feel God is calling us into. And there is a huge value in that. There is a huge importance in that. One of my favorite books on church vision and direction is called Ministry Nuts and Bolts, written by a guy called Aubrey Malthus. And in it, he writes this. It's a great line. A church that is without a clear vision of its future places that future in jeopardy. It desperately needs a preferred future. Instead, it harbors a museum mentality. It mirrors church life and leadership in a bygone era. I love the first two sentences in particular. A church that is without a clear vision, of its future places that future in jeopardy. And it desperately needs a preferred future. Notice there is a difference between a future and a preferred future. I mean, in the end, we know that tomorrow most likely is going to exist. And as a church, CBC, if tomorrow exists, we will continue to exist as a church family. And it's kind of like, in that thought, we know that there is a future. But there is a difference between existing and thriving. Huge difference between existing and thriving. And there is a difference between a future and a preferred future. At CBC, our vision is to be a growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, and love the lost. And that is our preferred future. That is our preferred future. That is where we are going, and that is where we feel that God is what God has for us. A growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, and love the lost. And so that's why we have at the start of each month a Vision and Values Sunday, because we need to keep going back to it, because we keep needing to be reminded, I know I do, of our preferred future. There is a difference between a future and a preferred future. There is a difference between existing and thriving. And we know that God desires that his church, his bride, that he greatly loves and died for, would thrive, not just exist. And so can you kind of see why vision is important to CBC and why looking at our statement, where we're going, where we feel God is calling us into, why we need to look at it like almost monthly, which we do. And so this is in no way a throwout Sunday. This is not like we didn't know what to do, so we'll go back to the vision. No, this is incredibly intentional. We have to go here if we're going to end up there. We have to go there if we want to end up there. If we want to be a growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, and love the lost, we got to look at what that looks like. And we've got to explore in the Word of God what that looks like. And we've got to ask God what that looks like, and that he would lead us and that his Spirit would do a work amongst us and stir in our hearts and move through us so that we are exactly that, a growing multicultural community who love. And you could almost sum it in that, who love. A community who love. Multicultural, not just in the ethnicities within this church, but the fact that we have varying age groups and we have varying life stories and like varying journeys that we've been on, and the fact that we're all bringing in some way a different culture to this body here. And so we want to see God take a grip of that culture and move through it to see others come to know Jesus. And that is our heart here at CBC, and that is why we have a Vision and Values Sunday. Are you on board with me this morning, family? Yeah? Oh, wait. We're ready for this? Yeah? All right. It kind of is like, so it reminds me of a story. And Mum and Dad, I'm going to apologize now for this story because you do not know it. So we're getting vulnerable here. But not really. It's not too bad. It reminds me of the day that I got my restricted license. It was a good day. It was a great day, in fact. And so I took a day off school, and I got my restricted license, and it was like, yes, I have my license. And we got home, and it was like, okay, what am I going to do now? Go for a drive on my own, because I can. So that's what we're going to do. So I jumped in the car, and I was like, see you, Mum. I'm out. I'm going to go, because Mum's like to know where you're going, I'm going to go to my brother's, because I knew that he was home. And that wasn't like a long drive, it was like maybe a 5-minute drive. And I was like, not much can go wrong in that distance. Is that a challenge? No, AMAC, it is not a challenge. We know that a lot can go wrong for you in that kind of distance, at that kind of speed as well. But anyway, so here I was. We were driving along, and it's all straight roads. It's all straight roads, and you know how you're like, you're pumped. You know, you've accomplished something in life, and you're like, yes, this is happening. I'm driving on my own. This is exciting stuff. And I was like, I'm going to put some music on. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So it was one of the car stereos that folded down, and you put the CD in. You know, like we've kind of moved fairly quickly away from those, as MP3s and all that have come out. So anyway, I was like, yeah, I'm going to put some music on. So I grabbed out the disc, and I pushed the thing, and it came down, and the CD came out. And I was like, oh, got a disc in my hand, and there's a disc that's come out now. Okay, I'll put that disc down, and I'll pull it out, and I'll put it in the case, because you don't want to scratch your CDs, eh? That's something you don't want to do. So I take it out, and I put it in the case, and you know, I'm kind of like leaning over sort of thing, trying to put it, well, yeah, that is right. I am leaning over that way. Well, that would be a worry if I'm leaning this way. But I'm leaning this way, and I'm trying to put it in the case sort of thing. And then I hear, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And I was like, that sounds like a car horn. And so I look up, and I'd been driving for a while now on a straight road, not looking up at the road, and I noticed that I was driving on the other side of the road, and that there were cars coming towards me. We were very close to hitting each other. It was one of those things like, I don't care about the CDs anymore, grab the steering wheel, pull on, this way, sorry, wow, no further this way, going this way, pull onto the right side of the road, and carry on driving along, and you know, like your heart's beating, so now you've got like this mixture of, yes, I got my license, and like, I nearly died, and there's like crazy adrenaline at this point, and so get to my brother's, you know, and it was just like, I was like pinging for the rest of the day. It was just like, whoa. And Vision is exactly like that. When we take our eyes off where we are going because of distraction and because of life, it is really easy to start veering in other directions. Especially when you're new to it and it is not your norm, just like driving was for me. Especially when you're new to it and it's not your norm. And the thing is, this vision is fairly new to us as CBC. And so it is extra important that we go back to it, because it is not our norm. Now, it is a great statement, and we see that God is working amongst us as a family, and we're excited about that, and we're seeing this culture develop, but we are not there yet. In fact, I don't know if we'll ever get there to the level of how much we could love God and love each other and love the lost. But the fact is that because it's so new to us, there is a huge importance to just keep going back to it and going back to it and going back to it. Because a church without a future places its future in jeopardy. And I'm not okay with that. Are you guys? I'm not okay with that. And I don't think that we should be either. And so this morning we're going to be looking at one of those particular lines in this vision. And we're going to be looking at what it means to love each other. And so this morning, we're going to be in John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35 to start with. John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Grab your Bibles out, grab your phones, your devices, whatever it may be that you've got your Bible on, and open it up. But it is also, for those who don't have a Bible, going to be up on screen, as you can already see. But if you'd like to follow in a Bible, throw your hand up, because we've got spare Bibles at the back, and the host team will get one to you. So John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35 is where we're starting. Okay, so Jesus here, a little bit of context. This is at the Last Supper, okay? This is the last meal that Jesus eats with his disciples in the upper room before he is betrayed, taken away, beaten and crucified, and he dies on a cross for all of humanity. So this is just before that. And this is one of the last, like, conversations as a team, you could say, that Jesus has with his disciples. And so from verse 31, it says, when he was gone, so this is talking about Judas, that's talking about Judas, the guy who was going and betraying Jesus. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and he will glorify him at once. My children, talking to the disciples, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I have told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus' very own words are, love one another just as I have loved you. So it's pretty clear the level of love that we are called to have for each other. But what does that look like? Because that is a massive statement, to love like Jesus loved. And so this morning we're gonna try grasp a little bit more as to what that possibly could look like in our own lives. Well, just before this, Jesus actually gives an amazing example through his own actions. Just before he said this, when he washes his disciples' feet. And so that story is like literally within like minutes of what he's just said here, or minutes or hours or whatever it might be, but it's in the same room that we know. And so this is the same meal that they're having, and at the start of that meal, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And this was common practice in that day because of how dusty the roads were back then. It was commonplace that you would wash your guests' feet because of how dusty the roads were. I mean, we're talking 2,000 years ago in Israel. This, we're not talking super high tech, you know, highways and that kind of thing. And we're not talking cars either. There was a lot of walking. But not only that, more importantly, this was actually a gesture of honoring your guests. It was a way of honoring your guests because it was the idea of taking their unclean feet and making them clean. And it's like, I'm welcoming you into my house. I'm welcoming you into my world, and so that you can recline however you may want. Because remember, back then, they would like lie around the tables and like quite often lie beside each other's feet. And so that would be a bit weird to be lying beside dusty feet, like scummy feet that have been like sweating and jandals and all of that kind of thing. So this was a culture thing. How glad are you guys this morning that is not our culture? I mean, like, it is cool and we can appreciate it, but I am so thankful that we have the handshake and the high five, because it's just like, come on, this is some intense stuff. But the thing was that the disciples weren't Jesus' guests. And in fact, it should have been the other way around, that as their teacher and as their rabbi, they should have washed his feet because he was in a position of honor already. And that was common practice, that the teacher, the rabbi, would have his feet washed. And remember that it was Jesus who said, go and prepare a place, you know, go get a place ready and I will come and join you. And so even though it was his idea, he was still the guest because they prepared the place and he came and joined them. So this is now on its head. He's flipped it around just like Jesus does. He's good at flipping things on their heads. But instead, Jesus beats them to it, and he gets down on his hands and knees, and he washes their feet instead. And after he had done this, he speaks to them, and he says this in John chapter 13, verse 12 to 17. So just move up the page a little bit. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17, he said this. When he had finished washing their feet, he had put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." In other words, Jesus is saying, just like in that particular passage, just before what we read earlier, love one another as I have just loved you. Love one another as I have just loved you. Jesus humbles himself and he serves those around him by getting to his knees and doing what was needed. His example was one of love and of humble service, honoring those that he was with. His example was one of love and of service, honoring those who he was with. And I think that that's a really practical example that we can take in terms of, like, in my mind, it's like, well, how can I love everybody here in this room? Well, I can't really, but what I can do is I can honor those that I am with in the moment. And I think that in this day and age and in this culture, it is really easy to resort to, like, looking at our Facebook feeds and our Instagrams and our Snapchats and all of those things that say social when we're in a room full of people that we could be loving or serving or honoring in some way. And I say that because I'm guilty of it. Like, I actually am guilty of it. And I've caught myself many times where I'm on my phone and I'm in a room of people that I love and I know love me. And it's like, what's wrong with this picture? Like, that I can't, like, think past myself and how many likes I have on my phone. How many likes I have on my phone that I cannot honor those that I am with. And I at the moment I'm wrestling with, what does it look like to not live for likes? What does it look like to not live for likes? And I've kind of been wrestling with that, and I'm like, well, that's a message on its own right there. What does it look like to not live for likes, to not love likes so much that I'm missing out on those who love me actually? That is, our culture is dealing with something big in that. And I just want to invite you guys into, like, my little journey on that piece and invite you guys to speak into that. And to wrestle with that for me. Where phones and our devices are merely a tool as they were intended and not a life source, not a lifeline, where we go to them to find our identity, to see how many likes we have today. And the thing is, get this, that in that story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, he even washed the feet of Judas. Literally the same dude who was, like, going to walk out of that room, I don't know how much longer after this, and betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus washed his feet. And then again, I take a step back and I go, how many, like, people do I struggle with in terms of like personality clashes? And that's okay. We don't have to like everybody, but we have to love everyone. We don't have to like everybody, but we do have to love everyone. How many people do I have personality clashes with that I would not be willing to wash their feet? To shake their hand? To give them a hug? To high-five them? To flick them a text of encouragement because I know that they may be struggling with something? When Jesus was willing to wash the feet of the man who would betray him and see him handed over to the Romans and eventually crucified. But all of that was a part of God's plan. Now I'm going to rephrase that. All of that was a part of God's great plan to show his great love. All of that was a part of God's great plan to show his great love. And for those of you here this morning who are new to this journey or are kind of even just exploring faith and Jesus and that kind of thing, I want to break it down like real easy here this morning because I think that we've got some really good like church words. And so I'm going to do my best to just talk about it as it is. And the issue that we have is an issue called sin. And sin, basically, when you break it down, is disobeying God. That God had a plan for humanity, had a plan for this world, had a plan for you. And then sin entered this world through the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God. And I think that that's a really good example or model of what sin is, because what happened was God said, don't do this. And they said, well, we want to be like you, and so we're going to do that. And they disobeyed God, and they took a step back from his plan and his way and his intention for life. And when he did that, sin entered this world, and from that point on, because we are all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we've all inherited this nature, this ability to sin, to do wrong, to disobey God. And because God is holy and perfect and pure, like when you think of pure, like he is the personification of what pure is, whatever it may be, love, like joy, peace, mercy, grace, all of those amazing words, he is the personification of it in its purest form. That is God. And because we are not pure and because we are not perfect, there is this issue called sin, this thing that is keeping us separated from who he is. And experiencing the joy and the peace and the love and the grace and the mercy that he designed us to experience, we can't because of this. But God was not okay with that. He was not okay with it. And that's the amazing thing in this story, is that God was not okay with sin being like the ruler of this world. And so he decided to take on sin himself, and the only one and only way he could do that was through Jesus. Jesus was the only one who could and would deal with sin. Sin required that a price be paid, that someone perfect would lay down their life so that the penalty for sin, which is death, could be dealt with. And that the price could be paid for. And guys, like, I know right now this seems just so, like, intense. But I think, like, right now, I'm struggling with, like, this message and, like, getting it out. because it's just such a huge topic. And so in an attempt to be really vulnerable, if you're wondering why I'm kind of like, I'm in an R-ing about what I might be trying to say, it is because this literally is life and death. This topic is huge. And so, encouragement is welcomed as well. Jesus was the only one who could and would pay that price and deal with the issue of sin. And he humbly laid down his life as the ultimate sacrifice. He humbly laid down his life as the ultimate sacrifice. And only 3 days later, raise up again, defeating sin and death for good. In terms of the penalty of sin, which is death. And so God has invited us now, because he dealt with the problem that we could never deal with. He did it. He says, come as you are, because you can't do anything about it, and I'll do the rest. So that you can experience that joy and that love and that peace, those things in your life that you so desperately need. Come to me and you will experience them. It is not a come to me and everything will be perfect, but a come to me and when things aren't going right, you will experience my peace. You will experience my love. You will experience my grace and my joy. Whatever it may be in that moment that you need, you are going to experience it because you are connected to me and I greatly love you and I died for you and I went to the cross for you and 3 days later, I rose from the dead for you. And I'm victorious for you. Not only was Jesus victorious, he was victorious for you. Jesus stared down death and he said, bring it. And he did it. He defeated it. And he said, it's finished. So come as you are to me because I love you like crazy. And in me, you will experience life like you have never experienced before. I will place my spirit in you, and you are going to go out into all of this world and change it and turn it upside down, just like I did when I was on this earth 2,000 years ago. Come on. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Can you kind of see where the story of the cross now fits into that statement? Love the people that you're sitting next to like I loved you. Where I was willing to give up everything for you. Love those on either side of you and in front of you and behind you and in this room and that has a relationship with me. Love them like I loved you. But you see that there is actually an invitation from God in this command, which actually this morning was kind of this week has been a revelation to me that there is an invitation in this command. And I'm like, yes, God, like you did it again. That statement that seems so massive and like I could never do on my own, you go and make it possible. And it's this. It's going to come up on the screen. Oh, man, Alex, you're the man. Love one another out of the love that I have for you. You see, Jesus's command was not given before he showed his love. He showed his love and he continues to show his love to you day by day, moment by moment, in relationship with him. And so there is no disconnect in terms of how God views this from the love that he gives you and the love that you're to give others. You can't pull them apart. It doesn't work like that. God says, love one another out of the love that I have for you. Out of the love that I have for you. And so if you are not in a place of receiving God's love and understanding like the magnitude of it for you, how wide and how deep and how long and how high the love of God is, then you are never going to be able to give it. You are never going to be able to give it to the level that it is commanded to give. To love others like Jesus loved you, you first got to go there to his love and experience it for yourself. And so yet again, we find ourselves in a place of not having to perform for Jesus because he already did it all. Anybody excited about that? We can get pumped about this, guys. This is life-changing. The love of God is so great for you that that person in your life that you deem like unlovable because they are such a whatever that word might be, not only is lovable, not only is that person lovable and can you, that you, and you can love them, but they are greatly loved by God themselves. So who am I to question who I should give the love of God to? Who am I to question who I should give the love of God to? It's not up to me. I'm a vessel. I'm a conduit, whatever you might want to call it. God loves me, his love out. God loves me, his love out. Then and only then can I love others as Jesus loved me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, right now, I don't know what else to do but to give you praise and thanks for what you have done for us. Thank you, King Jesus. You are so, so good. And we need you so much. And your love changes everything. It breaks down walls. It turns enemies to friends. It binds wounds. It takes what is negative and turns it into a positive. God, we praise you for the power of your love, that there is nothing in this world that goes beyond it, that there is no person too far to experience your love. So God, we just give you the praise and the glory. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We thank you for what you have done for us. We praise you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you for the cross. And God, we celebrate. Like we get pumped. We get pumped in your victory. God, we celebrate who you are. You are our God. You are our King. We give you praise.